We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Lodge Kohler Kickoff.
Let's go, fellas, let's go!
Every Monday evening at 6, meet our special Green Bay guest.
Come on, win the game!
Now live from Tavern in the Sky, at the top of Lodge Kohler, Green Bay, here's the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Good evening and welcome, and we are broadcasting from Lodge Kohler. It's a Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We're downstairs. It leaps in bounds. We are glad to have you as we get ready for tonight's contest between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. Packers needing this one before they go to the bye week, get off on the winning track, and then in addition to that, you get a bye week, you do some self-scout, you come back pretty healthy, and then you get ready for a very tough stretch in which you have four out of the next five on the road. You start off with a very, very tough team in the L.A. Rams out in L.A. before you go to the East Coast and you take on the New England Patriots. You come back home for a quickie against Arizona, and then you get back at it with Seattle and then Minnesota, both back-to-back weeks on the road. Joined here tonight, our good friend of the show, and just good guy in general, Nick Collins, the Super Bowl-winning defensive back for the Green Bay Packers. How you been, man?
I'm doing well. How about you, Bill?
Nice round of applause. People are here hanging out,
man,
today.
This is awesome.
It's always
man.
Good. And I like the fact he's wearing a Brewers jersey, for those that can't see him, obviously, on the radio.
Yeah. Go Brewers.
Supporting the Brewers tonight as the Brewers get ready to take on in Game 3 the L.A. Dodgers out in the NLCS. How you been?
I've been doing well.
Fill us in because you and I were talking prior to the show. You're doing some coaching now.
Yeah, doing a little coaching, high school ball and youth football. The high school record right now, we're 4-3.
Yeah.
My youth team, we 6-0 right now.
Yeah. So you're coaching your kids.
Yeah, I'm coaching my kids, so it's very entertaining, I tell you.
Now, is that flag?
One is playing flag and the other two is playing tackle football.
Okay, there you go. So, watching this team from afar, give me some of your thoughts as you get to see. Because obviously, once you're a Packer, you're always a Packer.
Right. I think they're doing some great things, especially on defense. I think the defense is a little ahead of the offense right now. Offense just got to continue to build and execute a little bit better. But, you know, it's always things you can get better at no matter what phase of the game. Presents to you, you just got to get better. And right now, you know, the guys got basically the whole staff got to get on the same page. Everybody got to have one goal and one purpose.
We know that this is a Super Bowl or bust town, and you were, during that era and during that team in which they got a chance to go to and ultimately win a Super Bowl. But take us back, because every year we talk about something special in a locker room, something that kind of triggers things. Take us back to that season, that memorable season. And you knew you were good, but I don't think you knew you were that good until things really got rolling. At what point did Nick and Tremont and Sam look to a guy like Charles, who, by the way, Charles Woodson here today as well in town for Monday Night Football. But when you look at that season, what triggered it? You said, okay, we got something here.
I think what brought us all together, that loss against Tampa Bay that year, and we just had a team meeting without the coaches. And we laid everything out on the line and how we felt about this opportunity that we have. And all the guys got together. We studied together. We made sure that when we got on the field, everybody was on the same page. Everybody had an understanding of what's our goal and what's our purpose for this season. And we went out there and we executed it. And we got the job done and was able to move forward and get in the playoffs and win the Super Bowl after that.
I just remember offensively, they were really kind of coming into their own.
Options and returns and all types of stuff. So it was great.
It was a beef up front, too, because I've always said you put CJ and Howard and BJ all in the back of a city bus. It's the only group that would ever make a city bus pop a wheelie.
Absolutely. Then you had Cullen Jenkins, who can, from the inside to the outside, he was very versatile and, in the scheme. And, like I said, it was a great feeling to see those guys just going out there and just dominating the game.
I remember midway through that season, Tremont had started to come on, and I had a chance to sit down and talk with him in the locker room, and I said, you know, what's kind of been the difference? And he pointed at Charles, and I said, just leadership? And he said, no. He said, he taught me how to study.
Yeah.
And he started taking the young guys under his wing and saying, this is how you study. This is. Did he do that with you as well? I mean, you played obviously a different position a little bit. But,
yeah, but, you know, I was versatile.
But he was all over the place,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. So he was just – he came in the DB room one day and was like, guys, we just got to get on the same page. This is what I'm seeing. This is the formation. And this is how you look at a formation and break down the formation. These guys, this is how they run their routes. So all the guys got on the same page and was understanding – how to look at film now. Okay, if I'm guarding this guy, this is my main priority. I'm going to focus on this guy, how he come off the ball, how he get in and out of his breaks. Same thing if he was in the inside, if he was a nickelback, same thing. How to come off the eggs if you blitzing and all types of stuff like that. So it just allowed us to just go out there and play very fast. And I think a lot of teams wasn't ready for it. You know, they underestimate how quick we were and how we can get to the ball and just change the game at any moment.
When Charles came to Green Bay, he was considered to be on the backside of his career.
Right.
There were a lot of things written and said about him. And I just remember saying that I watched him, you know, growing up through college. I watched him play in L.A. There was something about the guy that had an edge. I don't know if it was just a new life in Green Bay or what it was. Talk about what it was for Charles when he got here.
I think for Charles, it was a culture shock, basically. And for us, we was gaining somebody that we thought we looked up to. It was real great. But I think for us all, he changed us and we changed him, you know, in a sense. Get him to settle down and focus more and, you know, can be that dominant player that he's capable of being, and that's what he turned out to be. And I think eight seasons he was here, he had over 30 interceptions.
Right.
Before he got to Green Bay, he had total 11 interceptions.
Yeah. So, I always thought it was amazing, not even the interceptions, but the versatility you go back to
yeah.
where he was coming off the edge and getting quarterbacks. He was dropping back in it. He was playing safety. You know, I've said this time and again, and I mean, I'll say it to you, and you and I have talked about it. You were on your way to a Hall of Fame career before your injury happened. I mean, just statistically speaking, that's no BS. We've talked about it with guys. Ronnie Lott mentioned it when we were talking at Super Bowl a couple years ago. And I don't know, because when you and I talked when you were still playing, you attributed a lot to Charles, a lot to the guys around you, a lot to the guys up front. But I've always said football is a team sport that has garnered individual statistics.
Right.
But it really did. It seemed like everybody in that back end, once you guys mentally got on the same page, you just played with athleticism. There was no thinking about it anymore.
No, that's the thing. That's the part that these young guys that we have now, they got to take the thinking part out of it and just go out there and play football. You've been doing this all your life. So why you got to think about, can I jump this route or – do I need to be here? Do I need to be there? Just go out there and do it. Mm-hmm. Don't think about it. Just do it. If you mess up, we can correct that. But the effort part of it, we can't teach that. That's something got to be in you as an individual.
I know you want to coach eventually in the NFL. How do you go into a young defensive back room now and look at the guys and try to impart what you know to what it is they have to learn?
Well, you know, the way the game is now, the way offenses is breaking down, defenses is trying to get the matchup. So right now you just got to make sure that you have those guys fundamentally sound, because they try to get their guys in open space. So once you get in open space, you have to be a great tackler. If you miss that tackle, it's just open field. Then you got the matchup problems that can be created by the offense, where you got to have those guys who supposed to help that guy and leave the other guys to do their job. So once everybody's doing their job, the game is easy. But like I said, you can't go out there and overthink it. And I think a lot of teams is overthinking it now, especially on the defensive side. That's why you see all these points, 40s and the 30s. You know, back then, you know, if you got the 20 points – he was like, oh, we got a great chance to win. If you don't get the 20 points, you like, this is a tough game, right?
Yeah.
So now it's all about offense, but the defense just got to continue to grow with the offenses that's in the league now.
They keep changing rules.
Yeah, they do keep changing the rules.
Now, you were a hitter. I mean, as much as you
– Yeah, I don't think I would get a check.
I was going to say, as much as you like finesse and as much as you like to be able to get around the football – you like to hit. I mean, you don't find that a lot out of a lot of defensive backs anymore. The art of hitting, the art of tackling is gone by the wayside because they don't get to practice it on live people anymore.
Nope, it's not live, and a lot of guys are scared now. They're worrying about the fines and everything. Yes, are they going to get kicked out of the game? But at the end of the day, this is contact sport. Go out there and do your job and let everything else fall in place. Some things you can control, some things you can't control. Those things that you control it. The things that you can't control, don't worry about it. Let it go through the process, and you deal with it later. And I'm pretty sure you can go back and, you know, try to contest and, you know, contest it and try to get your money back and everything like that. So I just think guys just need to focus on the football part of it.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to go back into the rules and also take a walk down memory lane. We are broadcasting live here at Lodge Kohler. It's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show. We're at Leaps and Bounds. If you want to get a hold of us, you can go to LodgeKohlerKickoff@gmail.com. And also, don't forget, you can track us down over on a lot of different venues. Facebook, Lodge Kohler Kickoff. On Instagram, Lodge Kohler Kickoff. And Kohler Kickoff on Twitter. We got more of the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show coming up right after this. Welcome back to the program. It's the Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We are broadcasting live from Lodge Kohler. We are here in Green Bay getting you ready for tonight's matchup, Monday night matchup, as a matter of fact, between the Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. Packers looking to get a win before going into the bye week. They come out of the bye week with a very tough schedule. They got 4 out of 5 on the road, beginning in L.A. to take on a very tough Rams team before going to the East Coast and taking on the New England Patriots. So it's vital that they get a win here and now. Joining us here at the table as we continue on with the Lodge Kohler Kickoff Show, it is Nick Collins from the Super Bowl winning Green Bay Packers who is here tonight with us. And we were talking earlier about the league itself. Now, you obviously left the league because of a neck injury, and they're trying to avoid these type of injuries, obviously. So give me your thoughts on the rules changes in the league, because it's funny, everybody that I talk to, I saw JerMichael Finley down at Super Bowl, and I get a chance to talk to him, and he said, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah.
He said it was football. You know what you're getting into. Would you change a thing?
Absolutely not.
It's amazing.
Could I make adjustments? Maybe. But the type of player I am, the type of mindset I have, I know I go out there to play the game, and I play it fast. And like I say, I don't worry about nothing when I'm on the field. If anything happened, I'll deal with it after the game or later in the week. So that's why I say guys now just got to focus on the game of football and stop worrying about these penalties that they throw. If they throw it, okay.
Yeah.
Some guys get fined, some guys are not. So you just have to go out there with the mindset, I need to go out here and dominate this game.
So take us back. You get the win against the Giants. You get the win against the Chicago Bears. And I remember doing that game, and it might have been you that even came up during the postgame show. We did the postgame show over in Curly's. And I had said to you, when Brian Urlacher said it didn't matter to us, which we all knew was crap, because it did.
Right.
But I think I said to you at the time, did they just wake up the sleeping giant? Because you guys weren't going to be there if you didn't win. You know, you guys weren't even going to go to the postseason, and they had already won the NFC North. And I just remember you at Ryan Pickett. Because I said, now you got to go on the road. And Ryan Pickett said, we will eat that like candy. Bring on the booze. And you said that we've got it in us. I just feel it.
Yep.
Take us back to that run.
It in us. Like, we knew if we had an opportunity to get in the playoffs, we was going to win it all. The year before that, it was set up perfect. We go out there to Arizona, which we played the last game, beat Arizona, had to go back out there.
Right. Oh, I remember
in
that.
In the wild card
game. Because I stayed. I hung out.
You know, so, and it was laid out perfect. So, if we beat Arizona, we was going to New Orleans. And we just felt like we was going to win regardless.
Right.
Because every team that we was playing in the playoffs had a dome. So, we know we was quick, we was fast, and we was just going to eat it alive.
But, yeah.
That year, the following year, we was like, all we got to do is get in the playoffs. And we already knew it was going to be on the road, which that's what we wanted. We wanted to be on the road. We wanted to go to everybody's house and just show show them what type of players we are and just dominate, take over their stadium and make them, you know, feel our wrath. And that's what we did.
You guys go into Atlanta, a very tough place to play. James Jones with the famous drop, and then he comes back with a big catch.
Right.
James Starks, you lost your running back. Starks comes in and starts running like crazy towards the end of the season. It was a tough game, but it was one of those games where I walked away going, "This, I think this team's real."
Yeah.
Was that a big moment, not just to get that win there, but in front of that audience? And
it was. You know, they jumped on us early.
Yeah.
You know, they open the kick, they take it to the house.
Yeah.
You know, and we just got on the sideline. We was like, just calm down, calm down. We got this. And the game changer was the interception by Tremont Williams right before halftime. He take it to the house. That was the game changer. After that, we knew the game was over after that.
After that, you guys are in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking to Steve Young after the game, and he said that was one of the greatest quarterbacking performances he's ever seen. Now, I know when you guys are on the sideline, you guys are going over film, you guys are looking at stills, you guys are talking, but did you ever get a chance just to watch that and watch what Aaron Rodgers did to that defense?
Oh, all the time. You know, at that time, we wasn't making that many mistakes, so we didn't have to correct too many stuff on the iPad. We didn't have to look at the film to correct anything. We had the opportunity to just go over there, and it was like, okay, maybe you need to be in this gap, and boom, we was watching A-Rod do his thing, and he went out there, he just took over a game, and it was his precision on the passes, and the way he demanded the game, it was just amazing. Like, what, that game, he went 33 for 36.
It was crazy, yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous number, like 3 incomplete passes the whole game.
I remember watching the game, and then something told me, watch the sideline. So the next play, he drops back, and he hit Jordy on a crossing pattern. Mm-hmm. And it was in between two crossing guys, two defenders, and it hit him in the hands, and off he went. And I just remember watching the sidelines, and guys are grabbing their head, like, how did he do it? It was just – it was cool to see all the participation from everybody in that ball game. It wasn't like two sides trying to win one game. This is like one team winning a game. That was – it was just – all. There was something about that.
Yeah, I don't know if you on the sideline, the NFL films, you can it's a clip of B.J. Rodgers saying, "That's a bad man."
Yeah.
"That's a bad man."
Yeah.
Like, he's
Now who said it good. First, Stephen A. Smith or B.J. Rodgers?
I think B.J. said it first.
I think B.J. said it first. You're right.
I'm going to ride with my teammate on that one.
Then you guys get to the NFC Championship game in Chicago, and I remember that town was on fire. It was a crazy place. But I thought that would have been the easiest game, and that turned out to be the toughest game for you guys.
You know what? I think, you know, once the new quarterback got in, it kind of changed the whole game. We weren't quite expecting him to come out there and just do the things that he was doing.
Right.
It kind of caught it off guard. But once we got the feel of how he – you know, approach the game and how he's trying to manipulate the defense, we was able to get a grasp of it and kind of take over the game after that. Even though it was work. Like, I think I missed the interception in the game on the sideline and got caught it for a first down. I'm still upset about that, but we end up winning the game anyway.
Isn't it amazing that the plays that you miss are the ones that stick with you? You know, you can make a great play, and that's awesome, but the one that you missed that you knew you had?
I was right there. It was – Charles was in front, and I was coming over the top, and it was a corner route by the receiver, and it dropped right in his hands on the sideline. It was like, really?
Yeah.
We knew it was coming.
So you're in the huddle just before the end of that ball game, and Dom calls down dropping BJ into coverage.
Yeah.
Is that – because that was something, obviously, that you guys had worked on. I guess he started doing that in practice for a while. Yeah.
Absolutely. It was –
because it wasn't something we had seen to that point.
No, it was a zone blitz. You know, we was coming off the strong side and it was dropping BJ on the weak side, and I was dropping down on the weak side as well. And on that arrow route that by the running back, Matt Forte come out and arrow back in. So I'm on the outside. I forced him back to BJ, and BJ was there, picked it off, goes in the end zone. The rest is
history.
Does
the dance?
Yeah, he do his little dance. Hawaii dance.
Yeah, you know, I remember I was coming down out of the press. Yeah, I was coming down out of the press box, and I was going around because that goofy Soldier Field setup. And I got to the other side. I heard the commotion, and I just got up there in time to see BJ. And It was at that point in time that all of a sudden people are starting to say, what size ring do you wear? Because they're going to win this thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, there was something about it. And then Charles' speech. Tell me about Charles' speech in the locker room.
Oh, man.
Talking about the president.
That was one of the best speeches I ever been a part of. Just going out there, just knowing our purpose and what we was set out to do. And, you know, I guess Obama had called after we beat Chicago and was like, the president don't want us in the White House, so we'll go see him. And
yeah.
So that was our mindset. We wanted to make sure we was able to win, to go see the president and let him know we beat your team in your hometown.
Right.
And we the champ. So
I've always said, like that? No matter what happens to the Packers and the Bears rivalry, there unless the favor is returned, mm-hmm. there will never be a higher high at Soldier Field for a Packers fan and for a Bears fan.
No.
Unless they win it in the NFC in the NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field, they can never take that away from any Packers fan ever. They lost the Hallis Trophy. They lost inside their home field.
On their home field.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we had a ball in their locker room, too.
So then you're off to Dallas. And, yeah. and it was really weird because, you know, Dallas had prepared for this huge party.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we got snow and ice and everything down there.
Right.
And people were looking around from Wisconsin saying, this is great.
Yeah.
We're used to this.
We're used to this.
The bars, the clubs, everything was vacant.
They had sand on the ice.
Yeah.
People running all off the road. It was terrible.
Because it took you guys a while on the team bus to get there, didn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It was like, okay, this is what they want to do to us. They're trying to delay us, trying to get us off our game, but it didn't work.
So you guys get down there. I just remember I'm sitting there with Pat McKenzie, and you guys are coming out for workout, and Will.i.am is on the sideline, who's a tiny dude.
Right.
You tower over Will.i.am.
He's real small.
And Pat's talking, and I'm sitting there talking, and Will.i.am comes over and says, yeah, I think the Packers are going to win this game. And then you remember you and Charles and the guys came out. You guys were still in shorts at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just something about the feel of that game. I mean, I knew it was going to be a tough game. There was just something about the feel that you guys had just everything going on.
Yeah, we was just loose. Like,
yeah.
We just came out there, was loose. We weren't trying to overthink it. Like they were saying, the commentators were saying, okay, the Steelers got the most experience of being in this type of environment and for the Super Bowl. We only had, like, at that time, maybe five guys ever been to a Super Bowl on the team.
Right.
So, but we wasn't thinking like that. We knew we wanted to go in here and just dominate the game against Pittsburgh, show them that we belong, we can play with anybody. It don't matter where we go or where we playing that, we just going to dominate the game.
When Roethlisberger drops back and floats one into the air and – all I remember was in NFL films, they show your face and your eyes go from this to like pancakes. It probably seemed like it took forever to get in your arms, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
So as I'm going over there to try to get under that ball, I'm looking up. I'm like, just don't drop it. Just don't drop it.
Like, yeah.
It's the easiest pick in the world, but the hardest pick at the same time.
Yeah.
So once I corralled it, I was like, okay, it's time to make a couple moves, get in the end zone. Like, because before the game, we did our press conference, and, you know, it's all about Troy Polamalu. He's a great safety. So nobody came over there and do an interview with me. So I'm just sitting there. So when they finally came over there, I was like, just stay tuned.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do something special in this game.
Because BJ had the cheese head on.
Yeah.
And you were over there, and that was exactly what you said. You said, I'm going to do something special in this game.
Yeah.
And we kind of made a note of it. I think we played it back in the pregame a little bit, and then obviously, damned if you didn't, you know.
I tell them,
which was completely awesome. So when you get into the end zone, you get the pick. Momentum is on your side, but it didn't end there. I mean, Pittsburgh,
no.
A lot of credit. They came fighting back.
Oh yeah, you know that's a great team, great organization. You know, a lot of those guys been in that position before, so we knew it was in a battle. The whole game, so we knew we couldn't let up at no given time because that's Big Ben. You know, he's known for
how tough was he to bring down
magical moments.
Because you guys put pressure on him all day from every different angle. You brought blitzes in many different ways. How tough is he to wrangle and bring down?
He's just like a big. How can I describe him? He's a big tight end slash running back slash quarterback. Like, everything, his physique and as a quarterback, it was kind of difficult because one person was not going to get him down. Mm-hmm. It had to be a couple guys to get him on the ground. And he know how to – little slight movement, he can slither out of things and make big plays.
Right.
So on the back end, our focus was stay on your guy. And, you know, I think a couple times the guy got loose. It just took too long. You know, as a defender, it's hard to stay with a guy for seven seconds in a game.
You know what, though? But that was a game – that was Tremont came of age. You obviously got highlighted. Charles was already a defensive player of the year.
Right.
But Sam Shields started to come of age in that ball game too.
He did. And
you guys really started to shine as a group.
Yeah, we did, you know. And at the same time, Charles go down, Sam go out the game. So
what did that do when Charles went down with that broken collarbone? You knew he wasn't coming back.
We didn't know he wasn't going to come back until at halftime. We went in the locker room, and they told us he's done for the game.
What did that do to you?
That just, you know, as for me, it became for me to be more vocal as a leader and let the guys know. And I went to Charles. I was like, I got you. This one we won't let go.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to go out there. We're going to go dominate this game. And I promise you I will rally these troops and get the victory.
What did Kevin Green – because we talk about guys on the field. Kevin Green, mm-hmm. It's the famous call, go get me the ball.
Yeah.
It's time. Go get me the ball. I mean, they're saying that to Clay, and Clay goes out and gets the ball. But what did Kevin Green mean to that group, to that defensive side? Because Dom was always a guy up in the booth.
Right.
Kevin was a guy that was slapping you in the helmets on the sideline, man.
He brought that intensity.
Yeah.
And the will to just go out there and just be just an animal on the field. Like, make them feel you every single play, every single snap. Let them know that you there. That was his mindset. So on that play, we on the sideline. We knew that at that time they had kind of gotten the momentum. They was driving the ball. They was running the ball a little bit. So there's one particular formation that all of us recognized, and Clay was like, I'm finna go get the ball right now, which we was talking about on the sideline. Kevin Green was like, we need the ball. And that formation could pop up, and Pickett get great penetration first,
right.
Make him make a little bounce, hesitate a little bit, and just Clay come out of nowhere. Boom. Ball go up in the air. Devin Bishop there to scoop it up. And it was just like, wow, I can't believe how things can come together when you, as a team, study together and know different formation where you can take a chance, where you have an opportunity to take a chance.
Yeah.
And sometimes you win them, and sometimes you lose. On that particular play, we won.
When clock winds down, you know you got it in hand. We watched some of the celebration on the side. It seems like forever from the time the game ends to where they set up the podium to start giving away trophies. But – finally, when they get it out and the confetti starts to fall and you realize your goal, what was that like? I remember being down there, but I can't even relate to it as what you guys were going through.
Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, we are champs. We're the world champs of the National Football League. Like, there's no other feeling that I can think I ever had in my life besides when my kids was born. That, like, wow, like, this something is going down in history that no one can ever take away from me, that I'm a world champion. And, you know, to have your family and friends come down and just be a part of that, it was very special.
Yeah, I remember it was everybody, like you said, yeah. Family and friends and front office and
everybody.
You know, I mean, you don't even know who you're hugging.
Yeah.
You know?
Anybody that walked by there had on green and gold. Hey, yes, we did it. Oh, yes.
I remember I saw Driver. I talked to you for a minute. I remember I was taking video, and the guy that knocked the camera out of my hand was Ron Wolf. Came over and hugged me, and Ron hit me, and I hit my chin and the camera and all thing, and I'm thinking to myself, this is such a cool moment, you know, to be a part of. So when you guys – what was it like coming home? Because that's nothing – we see your celebration as a team on the field, but what was that like coming home?
Very excited. When the plane landed – well, by the way, I was trying to come over off a hangover from partying so much after the Super Bowl. But landing the plane, landing the plane and see all the fans.
Yeah.
It was a line from the airport all the way to the stadium.
Right.
And we on the bus. It's like.
Look at you getting free liquor now. There you go.
And it was like, what, 10 degrees outside.
Yeah.
On the bus, they had the windows open. We outside slapping the fans' hands. And it was just, it was amazing. Like, then we get off the bus and the stadium is packed.
Right.
Like, we didn't know none of this was going on. We didn't know that's how it was going to be. And like a lot of the guys with their emotions and crying and it was great.
Who out of that whole group, and I know we only got a minute or two here left, but who out of that whole group, I mean, obviously we talked about the guys that were leaders, but when you look at a guy, there's always one or two of those guys that you say it means a lot to him. Who are one of those guys that you looked at and you can say this is good for him, or I'm glad that he's a part of this?
I think for Drive, for Charles Woodson, and for Aaron at that time, I think
he needed that.
They needed it.
Yeah.
You know, Driver being the lone tender on the Packers at that time.
Yeah.
Being so close but never getting there, and to have the opportunity to have one, that was big for him. For Charles to leave, being so close from the Tuck rule, being in the Super Bowl, and not going to being in, then get hurt, then could not finish the game, that meant a lot. That kind of solidified him being a Hall of Fame, Hall of Famer in 2021.
There's no doubt that he
– first ballot.
Yeah, oh, yeah. There's no doubt that he was one of the guys that was vital in getting you there. So, I mean, I know he was deflated not to finish that game, but you don't get there without Charles Woodson.
Absolutely not. Then for Aaron Rodgers, just to have that – everybody down how he can play at that time, is he's the right guy, and to go out there and perform the way he did and bring a championship here was huge for him.
Right.
And to get the Packers starting to believe in number 12.
Right.
Not forget number 4, but starting believing 12 at this moment.
Because you
went through
all that with him,
Yeah. Far was gone at that time, so it was all about number 12 then. So now – everybody now can just pour into number 12 and focus on him.
I know you got a game to go watch. Good to see you, man.
Likewise.
It's always a pleasure, pal.
Likewise.
Thanks so much. Best of luck to you. Best of luck to the kids playing football. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Collins joining us for a couple of minutes.
Thank you.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We got a lot more of the Lodge Cooler Kickoff coming up right after this. Welcome back to the program. It's a Lodge Kohler Kickoff. We are broadcasting live at Lodge Kohler. We are here at Leaps and Bounds in Green Bay, just across the street from Lambeau Field, where the Packers are getting ready to take on the San Francisco 49ers in what is considered to be a must-win situation by many stretches of the imagination. We are brought to you by, I got to get them in, we're brought to you by our friends at Lodge Kohler, Hupie and Abraham as well, the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame, Sargentos. Don't forget, they have the TDs for Hunger. If you want to tweet your own touchdown dance with the hashtag TD for Hunger and Sargento, they're going to give $5 to the Hunger Task Force, so you get to kind of make a fool of yourself a little bit, unless you got a great touchdown dance, and you get to do a good thing for the Hunger Task Force. Also, our great friends over at Signature Limo, Pat and Brooke and everybody there, and Bruce and Tim, they do such a great job driving us around and getting us from place to place. They're awesome people. Signature Limousine, if you have something going on in your life that requires a special moment or a special ride, or whether you're just going to the airport down in Chicago, call Signature Limo. They'll get you there safe and sound. Also, Waukesha Sports Card, if you're going to make it great, have it signed by a great. That is Waukesha Sports Cards. Earlier today, had a chance to sit down and chat from NFL Sirius Radio, Mike Clemens, and he and I were talking about this upcoming game tonight, and I had mentioned to him that this game is as much as any game right now on the docket. This game is a must win.
Yeah, I think so. Because to me, this Packers team is a 2-3 team, not 2-2-1. They should have won that game against the Vikings. They should have lost that game against the Vikings, because the Vikings had a field goal kicker that day who got fired the next day after going 0-3 and missing a chip shot to win the game. So the Packers have a lot of things to prove, and they're not going to get a very good opponent tonight because they're so banged up. One of the issues I think that is we'll be watching tonight is that Brian Bulaga, the right tackle, got put up on the injury list last week with a knee injury. And Mike McCarthy said, nah, I'm not concerned about it. There was a Saturday morning press conference that McCarthy held. But then, what? You know, during the regular season, it's very restricted about what you can see at practice.
Right.
I mean, there's like maybe 10, 12 periods, and you don't get to see any of the real scrimmaging or team. Sometimes a little bit of the scout team. It's mostly drills. It's really become just more of a photo op. The teams are so concerned about things getting out of hand. Even not only scheme or game plan, but personnel and injuries. So as they were kicking out the media from the last practice the other day, most of the guys were, all right, okay, fine, we get it. We got to go. They're out the door. And there was one cameraman from Channel 2 up in Green Bay who was still kind of breaking down his stuff. And all of a sudden, zzz, he sees the cart go up, and there's Jason Spriggs laying on the ground. Hello, the backup right tackle. Wait a minute. Brian Bulaga is already listed as limited with a knee problem. This would be your backup. And they had to cart Spriggs off the field. So Mike McCarthy was asked at the next press avail on Saturday morning, what's the status of your backup right tackle, Jason Spriggs?
Had a little setback here in practice, so we're still looking at him, see how he goes through today and tomorrow.
They don't usually get the cart out for little setbacks. I mean,
No, I wouldn't think so.
And unless for Aaron Rodgers, who, of course, got carted off the field, went in the locker room, then came back in the second half and beat the Chicago Bears in the best quarter that this offense has played, the fourth quarter of that game. Usually it's something pretty serious, but Spriggs is listed with an ankle injury, so we'll be keeping an eye on that tonight.
I understand that Spriggs, and now he has not played great, but...
I don't know anybody else you want to stick out there at tackle.
That's just what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
You're already thin, you know?
Even though the 49ers are a banged-up team, they do have some pretty good pass rushers on that team from the tape that I've seen.
And in addition to that, you're also a team that right now is being flagged at a tremendous rate. Your offensive line's been flagged quite a bit as well.
A lot.
You know, you talk about frustrating right now.
Well, and the penalties like Josh Jones, the safety who wants to play more as a second rounder, but, you know, his head hasn't been in the game. And Dom Capers used him a lot last year, moved him around, and he ended up getting burned a lot in coverages, particularly when the Packers played the Vikings. Then they put him on special teams, and he's almost leading special teams with penalties. He gets behind the runner in that 65-yard kickoff return from Ty Montgomery and draws a holding penalty. I mean, there's some penalties that have killed this team and taken them out of the game early. So, you know, when Mike McCarthy first got into Green Bay, 2006, 2007, Ted had brought in an awful lot of draft picks and undrafted guys who were really rowdy, like really flying around the field. And they weren't a mature bunch, but they were a physical bunch. And that's how you ended up going 13-3 in 2007 in what it turned out to be Favre's last year. But they had a lot. So McCarthy did a pretty good job then of sort of turning things around and getting these guys to settle in. And so he was asked the other day, do you think you could pull that off with this group on what you did 10 years ago to reduce penalties in the middle of the season?
No, I think every season's different. I mean, it's obviously – players are different than we were back then. Everybody has a training process, and you have to have adjustments in that process to get the flow going where you need to go. So we've addressed it. You know, we've got to be more disciplined, particularly in the pre-snap penalties and things like that. There's no excuse for that. So we need to knock those out, but just continue to work the techniques of each and every position and. You look at the common threads of each penalty. I mean, they're broken down every week, so it's not like it's something that just popped up. So, and that's football.
But you know what? Mike McCarthy, that's his cliche all of a sudden. He just keeps saying that's football. No, it's not. There's disciplined football or just football. I get it. If you got an aggressive penalty, that's one thing. You know, hands downfield, pass interference, things like that. The taunting penalties, the false start penalties, the penalties from preparation penalties. That's where you start to get frustrated. I always forget. Look, you get handsy downfield, it's kind of a give or take. I get it. You have a taunting penalty, standing over a guy screaming at him. Yeah, those are stupid penalties.
Yeah. When that was a controversial call, I didn't understand that. I didn't think he was taunting. It was just.
Oh yeah, the minute the play happened, I said you're going to get fined or you're going to get penalty, and then sure enough, the flag flew. Just you cannot. It's one thing if you scream at a player. You know, you go back and forth, you jaw jack a little. You can't stand over him.
Isn't it funny, though?
You had your legs spread over the guy screaming at him down.
The league has let TD celebrations come back in.
Yep.
But God forbid you look at some guy, you know, with an awkward eye for
two seconds. I get it.
The Packers, they're near the top in the league for penalties and for yardage lost, and I think it's cost them a couple of football games. As a matter of fact, they're second in the league for holding penalties. That's kind of out of desperation, don't you think, holding penalties?
Yep.
So McCarthy was asked about, what about the holding penalty problem in particular? How do you address that?
We're up there in a couple things. So, I mean, it's like what I just said. I mean, you look at them each and every week, and some calls you agree with, some you don't, but that's irrelevant. You just look at every – I mean, there's calls that may not have been called, too. I mean, we look at those. I mean, that's why you grade the technique of every play, of every player, every play. So, and that's the way we've always done it. And so it's a part of the game of football, and we just got to control the things that we can control.
There you go. That's Mike McCarthy. You're talking to Mike Clemens a little bit earlier today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and then wrap things up. Broadcasting live at Lodge Kohler here in Green Bay, getting ready for the Packers and the 49ers. And by the way, just an FYI, early on in the ball game, the Brewers strike first blood. It is 1-0 Milwaukee right now. 1-0 Milwaukee as they go to the bottom of the first inning out in L.A. We've got more of the Lodge Kohler kickoff coming up right after this. Welcome back. It's a Lodge Kohler kickoff. I'm Bill Michaels, and we are getting you ready for the Packers and the 49ers coming up here momentarily on, if not many of these same stations. Hey, by the way, speaking on many of these same stations, don't forget coming up tonight after the ball game, you got the Green and Gold postgame show on many of these same stations. So hopefully you're going to be able to take a listen to us if you're here in Green Bay. Come on by. We're going to be at Hinterland tonight, so it should be a good crowd. It should be a good time, and I'm looking for the Packers to get a win. Packers should be able to get a win this evening and knock off a beat-up San Francisco 49ers team. You don't throw the helmets out there and take it for granted, but nevertheless, Packers should get the win here. The Hupie and Abraham, good drive of the game. Well, we don't have one yet, but I'm picking tonight the Packers actually go into the end zone. They get a score on a nice drive, Aaron Rodgers-led drive. And I'm going to look for an Aaron Jones touchdown tonight. I'm looking for the drive of the game to be capped off by an Aaron Jones score. You may see a Jimmy Graham. You may see a Davante Adams. But I'm looking for an Aaron Jones drive that gets you into the end zone. Brought to you by our friends at Hupie and Abraham, reminding you never to text and drive. Also, this week's Wisconsin Stem Cell Therapy Injury Report. You've got 14 guys, that are actually on the injury report. But not a whole lot of severity. Randall Cobb Geronimo Allison not going to be in this one this evening, from what I understand. And probably the smartest thing. I don't think they're vital to tonight's game plan. You keep them healthy for the next couple of weeks. You bring them back strong against L.A. when the Packers come back from the bye week. You get them on the plane and you take them out there. And that way you're pretty much back to full strength. Try stem cell therapy from our friends over at WSC. Go to Wisconsin, WIS Stem Cell, WIStemCell.com, and find out about their free seminars. That's WIStemCell.com, and find out about the free seminars. In the meantime, the Milwaukee Brewers, they are up 1-0 right now. And it's hopefully they walk away with a victory tonight. Until then, time for us to go. Have a good one. See you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.